glory land, I'll join the happy angels band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the Esther, the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
John chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Amen. And be seated. I want to say good morning, whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you are a visitor or a virtual guest. I am grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. Now, shortly, I'm going to open the Bible to the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22. This book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, and my invitation is for you to join me there as these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson entitled, Speaking of Heaven. Speaking of Heaven, Revelation 21 and 22, Speaking of Heaven. You know, sometimes I wonder when we try to get a grip on what heaven is really like, it's kind of tough. It's tough because it's hard to imagine the existence in a dimension beyond that of this physical world where we want to exist. And to be honest, most of us have stereotypical views of what heaven is. Most of us have stereotypical descriptions of heaven, and they're really not that appealing at all. Because we usually picture everybody in heaven having wings, floating around the clouds, and singing and playing harps around the throne. That's what we usually picture people of being in heaven looking like. But heaven is an important topic. It's important to those of us who are Christians because it's a vital part of our faith. In fact, the fear of hell and eternal torment may be a strong incentive for salvation, but that's not the basis for our hope. Rather, the basis for our hope is heaven, because heaven is the essence of our hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." You know, someone has made the statement, and it may very well be true. Think about it for a second. Christians don't talk much about heaven anymore. You know, apart from funeral services and some of the hymns that we sing. And apart from an occasional mention of heaven in our prayers, we just really don't talk much about heaven anymore. We talk more about blessings and how we are blessed and more so than heaven. And it's surprising because when we consider this is a subject where we want to spend eternal life. And we want to spend eternal life forever. So this should be rather important to us. But we don't talk about it as often as we should. We get glimpses sometimes throughout the Bible of what heaven is going to be like, but nowhere in the Bible is heaven described in more detail than the book of Revelation 21 and 22. In Revelation 21, 1 through 5, we read this. "Now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, adorned, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from every eye, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who has sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In the verse 22 through 23 of Revelation, we read, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb of God was its light. There are a few things that I looked at from these verses about heaven. And like most people, I usually think of heaven as a place that is somewhere far, far away beyond the most distant galaxy and planet that we can ever imagine. Most of the time we think about heaven as a place where we go when we die. In John 14, Jesus spoke of returning to his Father where he should prepare a place for us. And we tend to think that going to heaven, as we often express it, means our going far, far away at the place that the Lord is preparing. But here's what I want you to think about for a second. For most Christians, the idea of going to heaven when you die, it seems so basic sometimes that we never even question it. Now here's the problem. The problem is, you can't find that kind of terminology in the Bible at all. No one in the Bible that I've read ever talks about going to heaven. Isn't that incredible? You ever thought about that? You ever researched that? Nobody in the Bible that I've read ever spoke about going to heaven. Rather, John tells us that heaven comes down to us. We don't go to heaven so much as heaven comes down to us. Revelation 21 and 2 says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. You know, it seems important to me that the text doesn't say we go to live with God. Rather, it says God comes to live with us. It's a little different twist there, isn't it? You see, the early Christians saw heaven and earth. They saw God's space and they saw our space as two halves of God's creation. And rather than rescuing people from this earth in order to go to heaven somewhere far, far away, God would instead bring heaven and earth together in a great act of a new creation. 2 Peter 3:10 and 13, listen to what God says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. You see, the early Christians believed that all of this was possible because of Jesus. Jesus embodied himself, the perfect fusion of heaven and earth. He was it. The Old Testament scriptures promised that God would come back in person to dwell with his people forever. And when Jesus descended to the earth, that became a reality. And the Word became flesh, John 1:14. The Word became flesh. Not only did the Word become flesh, the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And that word dwelt literally means he set up his tabernacle among us, because the tabernacle, the temple, was the place where heaven and earth came together, where people met God. And so in Jesus, this ancient Jewish hope finally came true. The point was not for us to go to heaven, but for the life of heaven to arrive here on earth. And that life came in the flesh, in and as. You with me? Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. And because they believed that in Jesus, God had come to live with them, and that was the lens they looked through when they saw the hope of the world, that Jesus was coming to live with us. And so when you look at the book of Revelation and how it ends, it doesn't end with souls going up to heaven, but with the new Jerusalem coming down to the earth as the dwelling of God is with man. And new heavens and new earth. You know, sometimes I think that that heaven should be thought of more in terms of a person than a place. Just some ideas about heaven. We're speaking about heaven this morning because our first inclination is to think of heaven primarily as a place. And of course it is a place, but there's so much more to it than that. More than anything else, heaven is being in the presence of God. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but they never think about being with God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. The Bible pictures heaven not so much as a reward as it is a relationship. It's getting to be with God. It's talking to God. It's sharing the intimacy with God, the God whom you love. Listen, everybody growing up has met a man or a woman and they've said in their relationship that I feel like I'm in heaven now with them. And some of y'all might not. You know, your relationship might have took you to hell. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm in heaven now and met this woman, or she taking me to heaven. Look at this man, he's getting to be with God. That's what it is. He's getting to talk to God. It's having an intimate relationship with God who you love. And in the same way, heaven is also described, it's a beautiful place. And our greatest joy will be to be with God. And when you think about it that way, heaven is not a place that an unbeliever would enjoy very much at all. I mean, how would you like to spend time in an eternity with someone that you've despised and rejected? And now he reigns supreme. How would you like to be worshiping him forever and spending time with those of us who adore him? You know what I believe? I believe the day of judgment is the day when people will receive what they really want. If they really want to be close to God and to serve and worship him, they're going to do those things that will allow them to enjoy that eternity with God. But if somebody has no interest in God and they don't want to be around God on the day of judgment, God's going to give them exactly what they want. They get to be apart from God for all eternity, and anything apart from God is hell. He's going to give you what you want on the day of judgment. Let me tell you something about heaven that we've all talked about for a long time. Heaven is a place where some things are going to be removed. In Revelation 20, 14 through 15, the Bible says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire as well. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The old things have passed away. Something old, something new. God is going to completely remove Satan. He's going to remove Satan and his angels, and those who choose to follow Satan and his angels, God will remove those people as well. They're going to be cast away from God's presence. And so in heaven, we won't be frustrated like we are in this world. We won't be frustrated by those who fight against God and God's people because he will remove them. They will be gone. Death will be gone too. You'll never again be separated from Christ. You'll never again be separated from your family and Christ again. And that's what it means when the Bible says the sea was no more. Because throughout the Bible and in the ancient world, the sea was a place of judgment. It was a place of chaos and a place of death and separation. Even more to look forward to, we're told that there won't be any tears in heaven. no mourning, no sadness, no weeping, no heartache, no depression, no anxiety. There won't be any fear. One day we're going to find ourselves where there will be no more cemeteries. There'll be no more addictions to drugs and alcohol. There will be no more children dying. One day, God is going to come back and every monument of racism is going to be taken away. Every abusive relationship is going to be gone. Every mental illness, every funeral, every evil faction, every injustice, God is going to take that away. We're going to be living and walking with God for an eternity. And I need you to imagine that. Our minds can't imagine that at all. All of these things that we suffer now are going to be taken away. Imagine that. God is going to take death away. All this death we see around us, all this pain and all this hurt, all the things that we inflict upon ourselves and on others, God is going to take that stuff away. You know what he's going to do? You ever renovated your kitchen? You take the cabinets out, take the countertops out, sink, faucets, appliances. You come back and everything is brand new. God is going to take all those things in our lives away. He's going to renovate it for his eternal beauty. And that's not just true of creation, but it also applies to us as well. We're going to be renovated. We're going to be resurrected. That's what the resurrection talks about. We're going to be made new. Philippians 3, 20 through 21, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself." 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." One more thing. What I'm reminded of is the Garden of Eden. Remember back in the Garden of Eden before the fall? It was a perfect place. It was a place full of life and vitality. And God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. And in the middle of that garden was the tree of life. And a river was flowing through the garden from Eden. But when Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed them and banished them from the garden. And outside of that garden, they no longer had access to the tree of life or the water flowing from the garden. Adam and Eve at that time lost their access to eternal life. But I want you to jump forward to the description of the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation 22, 1 through 3. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Too many of us look at heaven as a retirement program. A lot of people, they compare heaven to retirement. There was a gravestone that read this: "Don't weep for me now. Don't weep for me ever. For I'm going to do nothing forever and ever." But that's not what heaven is like at all. Heaven is not some kind of recliner that's situated between two clouds where you die and you just get the remote in your hand and just lay there. That's not what the Bible describes heaven as. Part of the beauty of the garden to which Adam and Eve were placed was that they had work to do. God gave them something to do. They had to tend the garden. And in heaven, there's going to be work for us to do as well. Revelation 22 and 3 says, "He and his servants shall serve him forever." And yes, heaven is a place of rest. It's true, it's a place of rest. But it will not be the rest of inactivity or idleness, because that will not exist there. We're not just going to lay around staring at the beauty of God. Wow, look at this, wow. It's not going to be that way. Revelation 7:15 says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. We are going to serve God even more than we have now. And we're going to have the opportunity not only to serve God, we're going to have the opportunity to worship our God. Revelation 4:9-11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And he casts their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You know, any time in the Bible when God foretells what is going to happen in the future, he does that with the purpose of bringing about changes in our lives. That's what it's about. It only makes sense that when God tells us about heaven, that he has prepared it for us. And that alone ought to bring some changes in our lives. Because if we want to be different from where we are now and we look to where we are going, why not be prepared to go there? I mean, if you were going to go to Australia, let's say, you're going to find out about Australia, aren't you? You're not just going to get up and say, I'm going to Australia, and get there and can't understand how they're talking to you. We've got to be prepared to go to heaven. We've got to live our lives as if we want to go to heaven. We've got to behave as if we want to go to heaven, speak as if we want to go to heaven. We've got to have the mind of Christ Jesus if we want to go. But we think about everything else. Everything else we mentioned, everything else except heaven. 2 Peter 3:11, 12 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. There are some people who teach that the earth is going to still be here when Jesus comes. I know what Peter just said. You can believe that or not. But we ought to look forward to heaven and allow heaven to change everything in our lives, even right now. Heaven ought to cause us, or the idea of going to heaven ought to cause us to reevaluate our priorities. It ought to change the way we spend our time. A view of heaven ought to change the way we spend our money. A view of heaven ought to change the way that we interact with one another. Can you imagine being in heaven right now and you can't even stand to sit beside me? Can you imagine that? Where we want to go? Can you imagine sitting in heaven looking at me, thinking that I'm saying something about you when I'm not even whispering? Can you imagine? We got a lot of things on this earth that causes problems, and some of those things will not allow us to get to heaven. And one of those things, the most important thing that's not going to allow us to get to heaven, is you. It's going to be you. Listen, more than anything else, knowing about heaven ought to motivate us to serve and obey God. To serve him and obey him. It changes our view. When we look at heaven that way, it even changes our view of the suffering we go through in this life. Because God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more death. It ought to change our view of how we suffer through this life. Nobody wants to suffer. Talked about this morning in Bible class. Nobody wants to suffer at all. And when they do, they walk away from God. But they want to go to heaven. Revelation 22:14-17 says this. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates, into the city. Because outside, that's not what he says outside, are the dogs. Outside are the sorcerers. Outside are the sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. They're outside of heaven. And that's you right now. You're not coming in. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, let him come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. A lot of people won't want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because the truth, John 8:32 is going to do what? And if Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. I think one of the greatest disservices that any of us can do to someone else is to leave the impression that the joys of heaven is promised to all men. I think one of the greatest disservices we can do is when somebody lays here dead in front of us, all of us say, oh yeah, he going to heaven. Here come Grammys, he's coming out of me. I ain't never seen nobody in the Bible who died yet go to heaven. I ain't never seen that. But we put him in there. Every funeral, every dirge, we put him in there. I think one of the greatest disservices that any of us can do to someone else is to leave the impression that the joys of heaven are promised to all men. That ain't your business. That's God's business where they're going. And they've determined that. They've decided what they're going to get, and God is going to give them what they want. In each of the last three chapters of the book of Revelation, I want you to understand when you read it that the fate of the true believer and the unbeliever as a contrast there. Those who have chosen to reject Jesus Christ as God's only provision for righteousness, those who have chosen to reject Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, those who have chosen to reject Jesus Christ as the one and only entrance of heaven, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. For those who have rejected that, they will not spend an eternity with God. Because that assurance is only given to God's children. It's only given to those who have put their faith in God and committed themselves to following him. A lot of people want to go to heaven because they don't want to go to hell. Now what is that? The fear of hell and eternal torment might be a strong incentive for salvation. But that's not the basis of our hope. Heaven is the essence of our hope. We sing a song in the church. It says, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, oh, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day because heaven came down and glory. You ever felt like that? You ever saw that? You ever lived that? Jesus came down and he brought heaven with him that we might experience heaven right here on earth in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the salvation that he gives to each and every one of us. How are you doing with heaven right now? Some of us have never made a commitment to God. Some of us have made half-hearted commitments to God. Some of us are committed to God and have turned and walked right away. What if he came then? Better still, what if God comes now? We talk about going to heaven, but that's all we do. 1970s, what it said? Late 60s, you're talking loud and what? The young people might not look, talking loud and saying nothing. Nothing. Look, if you want to go, show him you want to go. If you want to go, be who has called you to be. If you want to go, stop talking like you're not his child. If you want to go, go because God is there, not because you don't want to go to hell. Look, I don't want to go to hell either. I'm going to tell you right now. Because there's too much hell right here on earth right now. Right? From the top all the way down to the bottom. Somebody's going to cause us some hell. Well, we've got to know how to douse that, right? But to live is Christ. But to die, nothing but gain. We got to douse that. And we can't be people from hell ourselves. We can't cause other people hell and expect to go to heaven. Stop raising hell. I'm saying it to those of us that are in the church. Let's stop raising hell. Let's go to heaven. Oh, because we raise plenty of hell now. Y'all looking at me like, hey, Brother Colin, I don't raise no hell. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And Christ was raised so that we wouldn't have to raise any hell. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and receive you, that where I am, you may be also. You can't raise no hell if you're on your knees. Right? Heaven is the essence of our hope. If you've never made that commitment in your own life, the Spirit and the bride say, come. You've never committed to God in your life at all and you want to go to heaven, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And Graham used to say it like this, come, yeah. You just come. Come to God. Let's stop playing these games. Let's understand where we have a desire to go. And let's know where it's at. And let's know that Jesus came down to fill us up. That tomb was empty so that we might be full. And we will be resurrected. And forever be with God. Boy, that's something to look forward to. Lord, come quickly, right? John 14, 23. Jesus answered, and he said to them, if anyone loves me, listen to this now. If anyone loves me, the stipulation to that, isn't it? If you love me, right? Do you? If you love me, you will keep my word. And if you love me, my Father will love you too. And if you love me and my Father loves you, this is what he says in John 14, 23, we will come to you and make our home with you. Just from love. But you can't have no love if you're raising hell and you expect God to be with you. You love God? If you do, you're going to love to be where he is. And so many people say, oh, girl, you know I love you. And knowing can't even live together in the same room. We're talking about living with God here. If we can't live with God right here on this earth, it's over for you. You can think about heaven and talk about heaven and however you want to mix it up, but you're not going. And I'm just here to be real for you. We're on our way to heaven. Every last one of us are on our way to heaven. And whether we're going to get there or not is up to you. It's up to you. Let's hear God's word. Let's believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. Oh, let's repent of our sins because there will be no sins in heaven. None. Let's confess Christ. Let's talk about Christ and heaven and God and the Spirit. Let's talk about that right now while we can. And let's live it. Let's be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Because Jesus says, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. Let's be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, for we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I appreciate you listening so well this morning. Think about heaven sometimes, but most of the time we don't talk about it. Let's be about it. Let's all go to heaven because God is calling us. He's calling us to be with him in the bosom of God. And we can help you with that. Why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
What can wash away my
sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Will you be one that they respond to the gospel?
What can make me
will you come? Heaven is waiting. God and his angels are beckoning you in to the church. Will you be one to respond? Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Will you come?
White as snow, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.